It's hard to get by just upon a smile. Good evening, everyone. I'm glad you tuned in again to another episode of Jewels on the Field, inside the world of our athletes, live here on radio.dominican.edu. And that's your Penguin radio show on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm DJ Jules and welcome you now to a show with a lot of interesting sports talk. If you've listened to my last show last week, you already know it was a bit of an introductory show since I didn't have a student athlete with me in the studio, just for means of getting settled and so on. And that was actually a good idea, simply to only talk for an hour without having to deal with another microphone and fader and volume. You see, it almost feels like being in a small cockpit here. But since my show is supposed to be about our student athletes here at Dominican University and not so much about me, I figured the second show has to be the first show with a guest. Challenge number two for me, so to speak. But I also simply can't sell you interesting stories any longer without having the actual storyteller with me too. And all of this will change today. Today's interesting story is the story of Joel Walsham. He's 18 years old and one of our Lions BFA ballet dancers. But that's not the only thing that's special about him. In addition, he traveled from Auckland in New Zealand to California for his dream of being a ballet student. And that also means he'll spend 4 years away from home and family in order to achieve his dream. Pretty impressive, I think. Most of the exchange students, like me for example, leave again after one semester or maybe 1 year. Others like Joel stay for their whole college career. And I really admire this huge step, especially when the distance from home is that huge and you simply cannot go home for the weekend. But these matters are not the only ones why I asked Joel to be my first guest. It's also because, like I told you in the last episode of Jewels in the Field, dancing is one of my personal passions too. I started to dance in second grade. Well, I have to add it was obviously way less professional than in Joel's case. And I'm happy that I don't have any videos with me to show him, because that would be certainly a little embarrassing for me. Anyway, the kind of dancing we did is a little hard to describe because it simply included almost everything. I think overall you could say it was a mix between modern and jazz dance. But we also sometimes had elements of hip-hop in it, and most of the jumps and turns originated from the ballet. So I think I can understand how hard it is to make movement seem so easy and light as a feather, even if it actually is hard work. And I also have to admit, our Lions BFA ballet dancers are way more skilled in doing that than I would have ever been. But still, it simply was the perfect sport for me. That's because I was, for example, never ever good at throwing a ball. It merely touched the 2 meters line for the most part during my whole school life, and therefore most of the sports, including a ball, were impossible for me. Besides, I've always been more of a team player. For example, I also tried tennis, but facing my opponent alone on the court, that simply wasn't my idea of having fun while doing sports. Dancing, however, was always a lot of fun. Our group changed during the years. There were a few newcomers and also some dropouts, but we soon established a kind of core group that stayed together for those almost 15 years. And some of the girls are still also very good friends of mine. Apart from practice, we had a lot of amazing experiences together. For example, we took part in numerous competitions, and that was always the part that was most interesting for me. You know, there are a lot of show dancing groups back at home in Germany. They showcase mostly during Carnival, and that's the climax of the year, followed by another year of practice. Don't get me wrong, I really like watching those groups, and part of my family is in our local group, which is also really good. But for me, this wasn't the right thing. And I suppose I would have also missed the competitions. That was always something to focus on during the practice. And it's also a totally different kind of motivation, when you do not only want to show the audience, but also your fellow contestants and the judges how good you are. The best example of our tours might be the German International Gymnastics Festival in Berlin, where we took part back in 2005. We lived a whole week in a classroom of the International School in Berlin, did some sightseeing, of course, and also our competitions. It was a blast. You see, I get really enthusiastic when talking about it. Well, I have to admit that I'm actually talking about the past right now. Our group had to split up some years ago. It was simply hard to find a coach, and it didn't work without one. Besides, it got more and more difficult to find a day to practice because some of us were still in school, others already worked or went to college somewhere else. Today, I think that's simply the course of things, and you cannot prevent that. Still, I think about it very often, and I try to convince myself that I'm still kind of in good shape because I'm still able to do the splits. And anyway, you can still keep dancing on the dance floor when you're going out, right? That's my way of practicing right now. And if you're more the runner type, which I'm definitely not, by the way, you might have realized the amount of wildlife we have around campus here at Dominican University. Here, you are most likely to meet squirrels, rabbits, or even deer on your way to class. And if these aren't enough for you, listen to that special offer, a public service announcement of the Richardson Bay Audubon Center and Sanctuary. They are right now searching for new volunteers who are interested in the nature and wildlife around them. Working in the Audubon Center includes either welcoming school groups and playful engaging them for nature, or working as one of the center welcome docents. And if you're interested in these volunteer jobs, you should be able to endure all weather conditions, interact well with children and teens, and of course, be in a good physical condition. Besides, you should commit to a minimum of 2 days of work per month and an average of 4.5 hours per day. Before being able to actually work at Audubon, you have to register for training, though. The next upcoming training dates are as follows. For individuals who want to work with school groups, it's October 15th from 9:15 a.m. until 12:15 p.m. And for center welcome docents, there are October 14th, November 12th, December 9th and January 14th, each from 6 to 8:30 p.m., and November 2nd from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And if you want to register for volunteer training or have any further questions, just call Wendy Dahlia, and that's 415-388-2524 and 111, or mail her wdahlia@audubon.org. For all listeners who turned in just right now, don't be confused, you're right, it's Jules on the Field, live here on radio.dominican.edu. This was just a public service announcement for my listeners. Now we're getting back to the topic of today's show, dancing. Before I'm gonna introduce you to my guest, Joel Walsham, I take a quick first music break and we'll listen to one song that holds a special dancing memory for me. It's Michael Jackson's Thriller. We danced to that song at the German International Gymnastics Festival in Berlin. The beginning was always the most important part because we hid under dark curtains and with half of us, me included, dressed as mummies with pieces of cloth covering our eyes, this was always the most thrilling part. In fact, I have to admit, for the most part, I didn't see anything. But it might be this additional thrill and challenge that made me still think of this choreography as our best one. It was simply most elaborate and fancy, and well, I'm gonna be lost in memories for the next 3 minutes. Just enjoy Thriller by Michael Jackson, and I'll be right back.
Stop your heart.
If you just tuned in, this is Jewels on the Field, inside the world of our athletes, here on radio.dominican.edu. And you just listened to Michael Jackson's Thriller. But now I think we're all excited to get to know my guest in this episode of Jewels on the Field. It's Joel Walsham, a dancing major here at Dominican in his freshman year. So welcome, Joel. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you, Julia. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, that's good. Because, you know, I was also very excited. I went to the convocation ceremony on Friday last week and saw your performance there. It was the first one here on campus. And that was really amazing in my eyes. So how did it feel to showcase at your own university for the first time?
It was very exciting. It was the first time that our class had performed all together. So it was a completely new experience for all of us. It was a piece that we'd been working on together, created by choreography that we'd put together in class.
You did it alone. So it was your ideas?
It was all of our class. We collaborated and used pieces of choreography and improvisational work that we'd been given in class. And we then collaborated with the help of our program director, Marina. And we put together this piece. And it was very exciting to be able to showcase our personal work.
That's really crazy. I didn't know that. It was pretty impressive. So are you yourself satisfied with this performance?
I am. I got to see a video of it, which was very cool, and I'm going to send it to my parents in New Zealand.
Of course, you have to.
Yeah, so we were all very happy with it, particularly because, like I said, it was something that we had been working on, and so it wasn't just performing any piece to the audience. It was something that we were proud of, and we thought showcased enough of ourselves to give a good first impression.
Yeah, I can understand that. So, as you're one of our Alliance BFA ballet students here at Dominican, what do you think, what is the difference between dancing back at home and dancing at a kind of university level here at this college? How is it different from what you're used to?
I think now all of us in the program are at a point where we are definitely working towards professional goals now, because for the last 15 years of our lives, I think the ultimate goal for us would have been to be getting into a program. And so now our focus has shifted. And so in 4 years' time, we're going to have to try and make jobs out of dancing. And so it's a very professionalized style of training. We work very hard. Yesterday, I had 8 hours of rehearsals.
Whoa.
We have, I think, 6 hours of rehearsals today. And it's just getting into that routine of being a professional and working like a professional and doing all those things.
So it's kind of the hugest step,
yeah,
you could say, in your career so far.
Yes, definitely.
And besides back home, as I've mentioned before, is quite a distance in your case. You're actually from New Zealand and here as a international student, kind of, for 4 years.
Yes.
And that's a pretty impressive step also in your age. So what's the hardest part of being that far away from home?
The amount of washing that builds up in my dorm room.
I think that's the change for everyone here.
Yeah. I think having to keep on top of everything yourself. You know, you've got to be very independent when you get to university. And I have no option to take, like, my washing home, for example, on the weekends. Or my parents can't bring in shopping for me in the weekends or something like that. So you just have to be very disciplined with yourself and give yourself a time that you go to bed every night and wake yourself up in the morning. And it really has to be self-driven, your motivation being here. So that's why I'm really lucky that I'm here doing something that I love. It's very easy to be motivated about dancing, even when times are tough and you miss home and you miss your parents and you miss all of those comforts of being normal at home.
Yeah, I can imagine that. For example, I once heard that the soccer players start with their practices at 6 a.m. Yeah. until 9, and then you have breakfast and maybe classes afterwards immediately. So you really have to be self-driven, I think. Yeah. And that's maybe the good part of being an athlete, because it's something that you really want to do yourself.
For sure, for sure.
So apart from all these characteristics you just mentioned, what do you think, what has a person to be like who wants to be an athlete at university or who wants to major in a sport as you actually do?
I think, first of all, you have to love what you do because you love it, not because somebody else is recommending that you do it. Because when times get tough and when you're really tired, you have to love what you do to be able to get up every day and do it, even when you're tired and even when you're sore. But you also have to be, I think, quite intelligent and able to handle a lot of different pressures. Because when you go to your academics in the evening, it doesn't matter that you've had hours of training beforehand, you've still got to perform in class and you've got to turn in assignments and do your homework and keep on top of all of those other pressures. You can't just focus on your sport, or in my case, your dancing.
You just have to do both things with the same kind of activity somehow, even if it's hard maybe. Because I think for most of the athletes, their sport or their major, in your case, is the most important part, isn't it?
I think so. But at times you've got to remember that even though dance is your focus or your sport is your focus, you're not going to be here very long if you don't turn in your assignments and you get an F on
That's
a class
true.
Or something.
That's true. It's simply the second important part of your career here at university. That's true. Well, on the contrary, is there anything that you don't miss at all from home? Is there something like that?
Oh, that is a tough question. Things that I don't miss from home. Well, I don't miss the weather right now because it is cold in New Zealand. Every morning when it's a little bit hard and I don't want to get up and I'm missing home, I look at my weather app on my phone and I see that it's going to be 30 degrees Celsius here and it's only going to be 15 degrees at home or something like that. So I'm really loving summer.
So you also have Celsius?
Yes.
That's good to know because I'm always confused about that. And it's the same situation with me. I think we're going to have 6 degrees in the night in the next days at home in Germany. So I'm pretty excited about being here. So that's an advantage. That's
it
true.
Is. Sure. California is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. So are there any plans to go back home in the next days, weeks, months? Do you have the chance to?
I'm going home for Christmas. My tickets were booked the other day, which is really cool. So I think it's in just over 2 months. 2 months and
a week.
Do you
have a countdown?
I almost do. Not quite down to days yet, but it's nice being able to know that I will get to go home relatively soon. And I'll be going back to summer. So that will be nice.
Yeah, you have kind of the perfect change of lands, of countries. That's pretty good. So how did people back at home react when you told them you're going to study in America and go there for 4 years?
I think it's a dream that lots of dancers have in New Zealand. Lots of people want to go to America because there's such a massive dance industry here compared to home. And so lots of people were very excited for me because it's something tangible that you can achieve. When you come here to study, it means that you've put yourself in a position where you're going to be able to get a job more easily than if you just came here on your own after you got a degree at home or something like that. So yeah, lots of people were very excited. My family were extremely excited because they had traveled with me at the beginning of the year over to America to do my auditions and had gone through all of that process with me. So yeah, it was very exciting. I was on the news at home and things like that. So
the star back home, kind of.
Almost.
Is it kind of, something special to go abroad for studying at home? I mean, not only in your field, because I think in dancing it is, as you just said, but are there a lot of people who study somewhere else?
I think it is more common for people within their degree to do a semester abroad or something like that. And most people wouldn't do it for undergraduate study. I wouldn't say lots of people go overseas to study, but it's more common when you're trying to pursue your master's or your postgraduate education. So to go overseas for your undergraduate education is, I think, quite rare. There's only, from my high school, I went to a big high school. We had about 3,000 students. And I only know of one other girl. She's in America as well. She's studying basketball in Arizona. Sorry, not studying basketball, but she's playing basketball and studying in Arizona. And she's doing an undergraduate degree as well. So out of all of the people that I know from high school, there are only two of us studying our whole degree abroad.
But in case of majoring in a sport as you do, or having this kind of athletics focus, then it's quite common. So your parents were maybe also prepared for that, I think?
I think my parents have prepared themselves for me having to go overseas if I wanted to pursue dancing. So that made saying goodbye to their only child a little bit easier.
Oh yeah, that's hard. I can imagine that. You already told me a funny story about the reactions of Americans here to your home country.
Yeah.
So I thought you absolutely have to tell this story to our listeners because it's so funny.
Oh, yes. I was hanging out in our common room in our dorm one day, and somebody asked me what language we spoke in New Zealand. And so I told them quite confidently that we spoke Mandarin. And for about half an hour afterwards, they all still believed me that our language in New Zealand was Mandarin and that I had learned English and come to America like that. So then I broke their hearts and told them that no, I actually
hard.
Do just speak English. I just have an accent.
That's really crazy. Because we just had, some days ago, we had a kind of international forum about stereotypes.
Yeah.
And it was really crazy. The African people were asked if they have buildings at home or if they have a lion sleeping in their backyard and so on.
Yeah.
So there seemed to be a lot of stereotypes, but I didn't know that it was so common, for example, in a country that has the same language. So did you experience any other stereotypes of this kind? Maybe not that extreme ones, but...
I don't think there have been many stereotypes because a lot of people just don't know anything about New Zealand. Lots of people think that we're similar to Australia, which I reply to them and say it's like me calling an American a Canadian.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't like that very much. So, yeah, just things like that. Misconceptions about where New Zealand is in the world. I had somebody think that New Zealand was in Europe, which was not the case at all. Just funny little things. Lots of people misunderstand what I say because we have different slang in New Zealand and things like that. And so I was calling the trash room the rubbish room, and nobody knew what I meant. And
these little
like
words, it's kind of the same as in British and American English,
yes,
I suppose.
Yeah.
So you already told me that a reason to choose America was that you had, more possibilities here for your further career. But what was the reason to choose this university here in particular?
This university I chose because of the dance program. It's a very high quality dance program here. The Lions program being on the west coast of America, I thought was very appealing because of its proximity to LA and also all of those opportunities, because there is kind of a east-west divide in America, and so people who are trained at east coast universities will often get more opportunities in New York and things like that, but there are more commercial opportunities and things in Los Angeles, so you've got that connection instantly. Plus, I had a number of people who have advised me in my dancing throughout my life, some American choreographers who gave me a scholarship at the beginning of the year to come and train in Los Angeles. They advised me to go to Lions because of the quality of the graduates and things like that.
So it's really highly recommended, kind
it
of,
is.
This program. Did you have any backup plans, any other plans, if this hadn't worked?
If this university hadn't worked? Or I was... It offered places in two other universities. One of them was NYU and the Tisch School of the Arts in New York, and the other was the Ailey School at Fordham University in New York. So I was lucky to be offered places in all three of them. But to be honest, if I hadn't have got into any universities in America, I didn't have a backup plan, because I personally don't believe in backup plans, because if you have a backup plan, you're preparing to fail. And I didn't plan on failing. I wanted to succeed, And so that's the attitude that I'll take into my my studies here as
that's
well.
That's a good attitude. I think you have to have it when you when you're kind of on the way to such a job.
Yeah.
And kind of your first choice was the Dominican, or wasn't it?
Yes.
It was. Good. So what do you think is the special thing about this Lions program here? You already said it's highly recommended and so on, but what else makes it that appealing to dance majors?
I think that we've got a combination of being able to dance in the city. We do most of our dance training in the Lions Studios in San Francisco. So we get to have a very urban environment, but we get to live out here in San Rafael, which is, you know, you're surrounded by beautiful mountains and all of this nature and things like that. So you're getting to have two very different experiences every day, but you can combine the best of them. You get to have quite a relaxed suburban life, but then you can go into the city and experience all of those exciting things as well, which is different to the other programs because the other two programs were based in Manhattan. And so being from New Zealand, where we're surrounded by nature and mountains and things like that, I really wanted to not be just surrounded by city all the time.
I can understand that. It's the same in my case. So
yeah.
How would you describe a kind of random day when you're in the Lions program? So how does your schedule look like?
Well, I will tell you our schedule tomorrow because our schedule tomorrow is very exciting. We will get up at about 6:30 or 6:45 and have a shower and get changed and then go to Calorega, the dining hall, as soon as it opens at 7:30, and we have about 15 minutes for breakfast because we have to be on the bus at 7:45 to go into the Lion Studios in San Francisco. Then we will do a two-hour ballet class to start off our day. Then we have a short break. Then we do a two-hour modern class. Then we have a half-an-hour lunch break. Then we would typically do a training kind of, it's a training program thing called gyrokinesis and gyrotonics, which is like resistance training or yoga / Pilates. But tomorrow we get to spend those 2 hours observing the Lions Ballet Company in their rehearsal because they're just about to start their season where they'll be performing in San Francisco with their new show. And I think that opens on the 25th of October, which is very exciting. So everyone should go and watch the Lions Ballet do their home season. And we'll get to see those rehearsals and see Alonzo King, who runs the company, who's the artistic director of the company. We'll get to see him work with the company and observe all of that. So that's very exciting for all of us.
I can imagine that. That sounds great. Yeah, maybe I'll also go to San Francisco. That sounds good. That's quite my taste. You already described the style of dancing, so it's not quite only ballet as you might think because of the name. So it's modern also and different kinds. I also saw it during the convocation ceremony. It's kind of a mixture also.
Yeah, so the aim of our training is to produce a contemporary ballet dancer. So a ballet dancer who's fit for the modern world and for modern companies, because even classical ballet companies now are not just performing classical pieces. Contemporary ballet choreographers are producing works that require you to have the technique of ballet, but also to have the movement quality of a contemporary or modern dancer. So our training is very varied. We do lots of different techniques. We do Horton and Lamone and all of these different kinds of modern classes, and with lots of different teachers. So we're constantly having new information and new ways of working and new artistic language thrown at us so that we'll be prepared for a modern way of working in a company.
So kind of a mixed artist that is able to do everything.
Yeah, they describe us as a mix between an athlete and a poet.
Oh, that sounds great.
It is.
We have to put that down somewhere. Well, thank you for all this information in the part of the interview, Joel. As I told you in the first episode of Jewels in the Field last week, I get my guests to choose the songs of the show, and that should be simply songs that mean something special to them because they remind them of a special event during their career or accompanied them since they began to do their sport, as a motivation soundtrack, for example. Well, Joel, the message of your first song on my list, it's The song Kiss Me by Ed Sheeran is quite self-explicatory, but how is it connected to dancing, or is it at all?
It is. Before I came to Dominican, I was lucky enough to get the chance to teach. And so a number of my classes during the week, I would teach younger kids, and I would use a lot of Ed Sheeran because, as I said, we're described as being a mixture between a poet and an athlete. And I feel like the poetic language in Ed Sheeran's songs gives you a sense of raw emotion. And so I really liked dancing to the song. And before I came here, I taught a lyrical class using the Ed Sheeran song. And so I always think about that and think about home when I listen to the song. Down with me and hold me in your arms. And your heart's against my chest, your lips pressed to my neck. I'm falling for your eyes, but they don't know me yet. I'm with a feeling I forget. Kiss me like you wanna be loved. Wanna be loved. Wanna be loved. This feels like falling in love. Falling in love. Falling in love. Settle down.
Hello everyone, excuse me, I'm just calling to, I'm telling and reminding you to fill out your surveys because we're going to have
My heart's against your chest, your lips pressed to my neck, I'm falling for your eyes, but they don't know me yet, and with this feeling I'll forget, I'm in love now. Kiss me like you wanna be loved. You wanna be loved. You wanna be loved. This feels like falling in love. Falling in love. Falling in
You're listening to Jules on the Field, inside the world of our athletes. I'm back here in the studio of Penguin Radio with my guest of today, dancing major Joel Walsham. And this was one of his favorite songs, Kiss Me by Ed Sheeran. Sorry, by the way, for the loud noise. We had to do a sound check for the next show following my show today. So be excited about this and stay tuned until then. So Joel, before we get back to the Alliance BFA program that you're doing right now, let's take a look back first. You started to dance many years ago, in fact, so how did you get interested in dancing in the first place? And when was this?
I have been dancing for literally as long as I can remember. My parents put me in dance classes when I was 3 years old. They were the earliest that the local studio would accept a child into dance classes. I used to dance around at home with my parents. They'd play music and I'd dance around with them, and they took me to gymnastics at first. This was I was younger than three, but I spent all of the time there on the dance mats, and I wasn't really interested in anything else at gymnastics, so they thought as soon as I turned three, they would put me in dancing, and it stuck, and I've been dancing ever since.
That's really a good story, I have to admit. So, what was the reason that fascinated you about dancing? Is it also a reason maybe to keep doing this sport so long?
I love the way that you feel when you dance. You just feel very free. Nothing else matters in the world when you're dancing. And there's always the excitement of performances and performing in front of an audience and sharing your movement with people who, no matter whether they speak your language or something like that, you can always connect with a dancer when they open themselves up, because movement doesn't need language. It doesn't have an accent or anything like that. It's something very relatable for people, and so I love that about dancing.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's simply another way of doing sports, I think. It's simply a special kind of doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
How did your story proceed then afterwards? You were three and in this first dancing class, and what were kind of the different steps that led to being part in the Lions program right now?
It's
a long story.
It is a long story. 15 years is a long time to dance. After I moved to Auckland, which is the main city in New Zealand, I started doing a number of different dance styles. I would do jazz, contemporary and modern, tap, and I sat all of my exams for them, and I got to the end of my jazz exams, and we had always had to do ballet classes to accompany our jazz, but I didn't have any other exams to focus on. I'd finished them, and so I thought, well, I might as well do ballet exams. I've got nothing else that I need to be working on to complete my other styles of dance at the moment. So I enrolled for those classes, and probably about 3 years ago, I started seriously looking at which programs I would like to apply to and what kind of future I saw myself having in dance. And so that really focused me on what I needed to do to achieve those goals. And so I almost exclusively did classical ballet for a couple of years because I had a very solid base in a number of different styles.
And so it was the kind of the missing piece that you had to do.
And it would allow me to come over here and audition for a program that, even though it's contemporary ballet, you still need to have a very strong technical understanding. And I was lucky that I had that from my years of jazz as well, because jazz is often very ballet focused. It uses a lot of the same language and things like that. And so about over a year ago, it would be 14 months or so ago now, I started submitting my applications for universities. And because it's a dance program, you've got two different parts to your application. So you have your application for Dominican University, or for whatever the university is that you're applying to. Then you also have your application for the dance program. So it is possible that you could be accepted into the dance program, but not accepted into the university, or okay, vice versa. So I had to submit all of my American academic information and things like that. I had to go and sit SATs and things like that, which we don't do in New Zealand. Plus, I had to start preparing for my auditions. So in January, I traveled over to America with my parents, and I auditioned for the Lions program, and I auditioned for the other programs in New York. And it was all very exciting, and it meant that I got to put all of my work to use. And then I flew out a few days after my auditions, and I got an email while I was flying, so I didn't get it until I came back, saying that Marina would like to offer me a place in the Lions program, and she'd wanted to speak to me, but she wasn't able to get hold of me because we were flying and things like that. And they had a very full day of auditions when I was in New York. So, yeah, I got the email and it was all very exciting.
Yeah, sure.
And then I had to start getting all of my visa information and all of that processed.
Yes.
And then I could arrive.
That's crazy. So, was kind of the dancing always part of your school life? Did you have to go to special schools, or was it kind of in your free time still when you were back home?
Well, I completed high school at a normal high school, and I did all of my dancing extracurricular, so okay. I would do that after school. So generally, I would dance from when school finished until sometimes like 10 o'clock at night or something like that, because we were at a point where we had to be doing a lot of hours so that we would be able to complete our training. But then we also had to keep up with all of our academics. So it's really nice here to be able to major in dancing, and it takes a little bit of the academics out. But we still have to complete academics, obviously. We've got all of the same general education requirements as other majors. But it means that we're able to put more focus onto our dancing.
So. Yeah. It's kind of a nice way how they do it here, I feel. I mean, I don't experience it myself, but I've heard that you have to do public speaking classes and so on. So it's kind of a general education on top of that all. And that's maybe not the worst thing to do in such a case.
No, it's creating dancers that are exercising their brain as well as exercising their body. And I think that the dance world's going to be better for having a whole generation of dancers that, instead of just going and training with the school, they are also getting good dance training, but they're also able to be intelligent and think about the world and inform their art from an academic point of view.
Yeah, I think that's simply something that's necessary in modern times right now.
Yeah.
You might have, last but not least, anticipated or expected me to ask this question, but I think it's still something that people who don't dance, for example, ask themselves. How do people react when you tell them, especially when you were younger, that you're a dancer, especially as a boy? Do they kind of, are there prejudices?
I think it is more of an issue when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get to the point where you kind of grow out of it. But when you love what you do, it doesn't matter what anyone says. We're very lucky that we live in a society where dance has been a lot more prevalent. There have been a number of high-profile dance movies, so
that's
you
true.
Think you can dance on TV and things like that. And so seeing males in the likes of Step Up and Centre Stage and things like that, and Billy Elliot, has meant that people are more used to seeing dancers, and it's not as much of a foreign concept as it was, I don't know, 10 or 20 years ago.
That might be true. And especially, you know, I think it might be also a difference when you're really doing it professional right now. When people really see, okay, it's not like a hobby, it's simply something that you really want to do and that you're really focused on and want to do it in a professional way. That might be also something that makes the difference.
Yeah, I think that was also why it was really cool to perform at Convocation, so that, you know, the students could see actually what the dance majors do, that we don't just go around and, you know, party dance or whatever.
That's
that we're
true.
You know, working really hard. We are working like an athlete, and we're refining our technique and doing all of those things as well.
One last question. I often see all the dancers in Carlo Rega and so on eating all together. Is there kind of a problem with concurrency or anything like that? Because you compete next to each other, kind of, because there are not that many spots in the dancing programs, I think. Is there any problem with that, or don't you think about that right now?
No, I think we've got a really nice group of dancers. There's only 12 of us in the program. Lots of dance programs will have 24 dancers or 30 dancers or something. So it's a relatively small program. And we're all here because we've got similar backgrounds in dancing. I mean, obviously there's variations in what we've done, but we all have a common goal in that we want to make a career out of it. And I think we're stronger in class when we work together and we view ourselves as a team instead of being competing against each other. It's not until 4 years down the track when we will be auditioning for things like that. And so particularly at this stage, although I think in any stage, all of our class of 2017 dancers will always have a really strong bond, because we don't necessarily all want to be in the same companies. We won't audition for the same companies. We could be dancing in California or New York or in Europe or anything like that. So because there's only a few of us, I really don't think that we have that rivalry. Plus, we spend so much of our time together that it can't be like that. It would be pretty miserable if we were worried about what we were all thinking of each other all the time.
Yeah, but it's really nice that it works like that.
Yeah, I think so.
So thank you, Joel, for the first, for all this insight in our dancing majors world. I'll give you a little break right now before we continue with a new section of my show, and that also includes some dancing events. So stay tuned on radio.dominican.edu. We'll listen to Joel's second song for today's show right now. It's Trouble by Ray LaMontagne. And Joel, this song doesn't really sound like trouble. It's more kind of melancholic and soft and so on in my view. But I can quite imagine you dancing to this type of song. So what's your special dancing memory connected to this song?
This song was a song that I used for a piece that I choreographed myself. I choreographed a solo, a kind of lyrical solo for my auditions when I came over from New Zealand. And so it was a dance that I felt represented who I was as a dancer and showed off what I like to do and what I think I'm pretty good at. So this piece meant a lot to me, and I really like the song, and it's a song that I really like dancing to. It's got a lot of heart and a lot of soul, so yeah.
Back again. This is DJ Jules today with my guest Joel Walsham here on radio.dominican.edu. Well, you've listened to one of his favorite songs, Trouble by Ray LaMontagne. And now, as we're slowly reaching the end of this episode of Jules on the Field, you might be interested in going to some of the events which our Alliance BFA Ballet dancers organize or participate in this semester. It's going to be very fascinating and an amazing experience, I'm sure. In fact, Joel told me about some of the dancing news during the upcoming week and later in the semester. After their first performance here on campus during the convocation ceremony in Angelica Hall on the past weekend, our dancing majors return for a second performance at the Midnight Mayhem organized by the Penguin Student Athlete Advisory Committee next Monday, October 14th, starting at 10:30 p.m. Joel, some listeners might think that an event starting off the basketball season and ballet might not go together that well. But what's your performance going to be like on this special event?
Well, I can't give away all of our secrets, and I'm actually off to one of our top secret rehearsals this evening. But no, I don't think we'll be doing ballet for you to kick off the basketball season. It's a fun piece to celebrate the start of the basketball season, and so there'll be performances from a few of the Lions BFA students, and it's choreographed by some of the seniors, and it's just meant to be a lot of fun and very relatable for the audience, so... No, you won't be seeing us doing, you know, pirouettes and tondus and things like that. We'll be
doing some fun things. That's cool. Later during the semester, there's going to be your very first official show here on campus. It's the Fall Showcase on Friday, November 15th and Saturday, November 16th in Angelica Hall. So highlight this day in your calendar already now. It's going to be amazing. Joel, do you know when the performance are going to start and if we, as your audience, have to buy tickets in advance?
I'm not entirely sure, actually, about ticket sales. I think it will start at 7 p.m., although don't quote me on that. I'm sure that there'll be posters up all around Dominican and a Facebook event as soon as we know.
And we'll just check the news and event schedule on dominican.edu for the latest updates and be up to date after that.
For sure.
So, apart from dancing, however, there is also a lot going on in our various other sports here at Dominican University. Our women's and men's soccer teams, for example, really have a tough schedule in the upcoming days, but it's going to be a lot of fun for them too, I'm sure, and that's because they're doing a trip to various islands of Hawaii to play all the Hawaiian teams in the NCAA Division II. The game started on Saturday with their matches against the Brigham Young University of Hawaii. Then they will play against the Chaminade University at Honolulu on Monday, October 14th, and they will return on October 19th after their last match. You still can be up to date even if there's no live commentary of these games, so just follow Dominican Athletics on Facebook or Dominican Sports on Twitter. And after the matches, there are, of course, post-game reports on DominicanAthletics.com, by the way. Just before the next show, Jules, on the field next week, the volleyball women's team will play against the Ursulin College on Tuesday, October 15th at 6 p.m. here in the Conlan Center. I keep my fingers crossed for them. They had a really good two games in the last week, so we're eager to see them win again. They also organize a little special event next Tuesday. There's the Professor Night on this match day, where they will honor a few of the university professors who have made an impact on our student athletes' life and help them to win four consecutive PacWest Academic Achievement Awards. The latest of these awards was only presented to our athletes during the convocation ceremony last weekend. Concerning other Dominican University news, I have two more public service announcements for you. Firstly, for all of you who don't know already, there's a community service day here at Dominican University on Saturday, October 12th. As a part of this special day, the DU students Sarah Purgel and Nicolas Garcia are conducting a trash awareness day. They want to encourage students to dispose trash they spot on this day, and of course not only on this special day, in the proper bins, no matter where you are, but especially on campus. Because all it takes is picking up one piece of trash for you to make a difference on our campus and the greater Marin County. And secondly, there's an interviewing skills workshop in Gusman Hall, room 201, on Wednesday, October 16th, from 4:30 to 5:45 p.m. What's special about this workshop is the fact that there will be a Skype interviewing expert with you, helping you and talking to you about various techniques to improve your skills in dealing with interviews. And if you need any further information, just contact Vanessa Ioannidis at the Career and Internship Services. You're listening to Jules on the Field, Inside the World of Our Athletes. That will be the last song of today's show. It's Skinny Love by Bon Iver. It's a song that I picked up because of the German version of The Voice. And it's also a song that Joel picked as his last. So I'm pretty excited to hear what the story about this song is going to be. Joel?
Well, like I said earlier, I was lucky enough to be able to teach some classes before I came over here, and I was teaching a lyrical class, and this was the last dance that I taught at my studio, and so it holds a sentimental place in my heart. But I also love this version by Bon Iver. It's a very raw version, much like Ed Sheeran's singing. He's such a poet, and it has such emotion, and it's such a wonderful song to dance to. So I'm just really inspired by his work as an artist.
A good song also to calm you down on this Wednesday evening and to say goodbye until we see or hear each other again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. as usual. See you next week, your DJ Jules.